Well, I want to finish off now a series that I've been doing on and off for the last few months, Strengthened in the Inner Man. Strengthened in the Inner Man. And we've been looking at this in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. And we have been looking through primarily from verses 14 through to 21. And today I'm going to speak on verses 18 to 19, but I just want to read the whole part of that again. This is his intercession. This is why he's in prison, in a dungeon, and here he's praying for the saints, for these Christians at Ephesus. He's praying one of the most profoundest prayers to be found in the New Testament. And we take it up in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Strengthen in the inner man. Now we have this on our website for those if you want to go back and listen to some of the teachings, because I can't go through it all. We need to get through this to really wrap this up. But I want to take this up now, looking at verses 18 to 19, which says that may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. And we looked last time at God's greatness. There's no beginning, there's no end. And this is in the context of knowing God's love. We spoke in depth about these words that we have here. What is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height? All of this is speaking to us about God's love. That nothing will separate us from the love of God. What will separate us is Satan's lies about God's love. But there is nothing for the Christian filled with his Spirit that will separate you from God's love. And we spoke about God, his existence. He always has been. He always will be. He is love. He is everything. He doesn't try to be. He is. There is no beginning, there is no end. He's uncreated, eternal Spirit, always has been and always will. And when you begin to think in those terms, you are talking and thinking about God's love, and that is God's love that will not separate us from. And so we ask ourselves whether we are experiencing this breadth, this width, this length, this depth, this height. That is the question. Are you experiencing this? And are you experiencing it through his love? Because that is the means and the way of experiencing this greatness of God. This great love. You have to start to experience who God is. That there is no beginning, that there is no end. You cannot place him in anything. He is everywhere. There is no place that he is not. And when you begin to think in those terms, then you begin to think about God's love. And do we know his love, which, and that is the question. Because he says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you will be filled with his fullness. Now it's right in the context of saints, this width, this length, this depth, this height. To know the love of Christ. So it is in the context of what he's speaking about. He's gone to the greatest, highest principle, the royal law, which is love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and might and so forth. And to love your enemy as you love yourself and so forth. That is the fulfilling of the law. And so when we begin to look at this, embrace this, we are beginning to get an understanding of these terms in verse 18 of the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God. Can I say further that that is the only means and way of beginning to understand God and who God is? If you do not know the love of God and want the love of God and to express the love of God and to live by the love of God, you will never understand God. You won't even understand these terms that we're speaking about. You will only know it in the carnal mind. And the carnal mind can never embrace eternity. That's the problem that the carnal mind has. It can't embrace faith. Because faith is the greater knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Faith is the unlocking of receiving revelation and understanding from God. It's a fact that in this context about God's love, and this is what he's praying for these Christians filled with Spirit, this apostolic church. He's praying already for believers. Remember we spoke about that back a few weeks ago. God is speaking and addressing this teaching today to most of us who are believers. So why is he talking about his love? Well, there's a reason for this, because I believe that there are three various types of Christians, believers, that we have in our circles today. Firstly, there are those who, spiritually speaking, who are in the holies of holies, in the inner circle, the inner sanctuary, who are pressing in, who desire to be in the very presence of God, where only once the high priest yearly could go into. They are those who are pressing in beyond the veil, through the baptism of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, to reside, to dwell in that inner circle, in a relationship, that unbroken relationship with Almighty God. And that is ultimately what I believe the apostle is praying here for. That they will experience this. And believers right down through the ages who read about this. But to experience this inner circle, to reside and stay in the holies of holies in his presence, you've got to learn some things. And you've got to learn about the love of God. How vast, how great it is. Then there are those, secondly, who are in a type of outer circle. Those who, yes, may be charismatic, maybe speak in tongues, but they're not really pressing in or seeing this relationship that you have with God, that you can experience the inner sanctuary, the holies of holies of God. They're just not quite seeing that. And the reason that they're not seeing it, because they have never really fully comprehended the width and the length and the depth and the height of Almighty God. Then there are thirdly those who are of the outer circle, which could be like babes who've just come to Christ, or those who are deciding to become Christian. They're in that outer circle, who yet are still not sure who they're going to follow. And today, brothers and sisters, you can see that type of Christianity that is around. It doesn't take you long when you can speak to those who say, well, yes, I love Jesus, but you can see they're not going deep with Jesus. Or there are those who have just come to Christ, but are not seeing that there is more through the baptism of the Spirit. This is why the deeper life that we present is a door that opens into a deeper walk of the Spirit, and you can go as far as you want in this, maturing and growing in the Spirit. But it is never really going to happen, and this is why the apostle prayed this for these Christians, this apostolic church, unless they may be able to comprehend with all the rest of the saints this width, this length, this depth, and this height. And not only that, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Again, this word to know is not abstract, but has a meaning. It means to experientially know that love. I know that voice. I know my beloved. I know his hand upon me. I know what he's saying to me. I know he's leading, he's guiding me. The nearest analogy I can get is like a mother who knows the cries of a child. She just knows those different cries, and she responds in return to that. Nobody else knows that. That is a bonding between a mother and child. That is this understanding of knowing, that we go deeper with God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You see, a mother with her child doesn't intellectually try to work out or understand, well, what cry is that that's coming today? Now, that could be a hunger pet cry. It could be just for attention. Or it could be a cry that it's in pain. She doesn't think like that. She knows what to do. Do you know why? Do you know what bonds that? Love. That is what bonds it. Love is the revelation. Love is the know-all. So many Christians who are not growing is because they don't really love and experience love. You say to me, but I do love God. I tell him that I love him. Yeah, but you don't love your brother and sister. You've got problems with them. You don't love your enemy. You don't love your family or whatever. So little wonder you're not experiencing this love, this knowing this love. You see? I don't have to run to the Bible to know that God loves me, because it's been revealed to me. I don't need scriptures to tell me that God loves me now, because I know that he does. Because I'm learning this height, this length, this depth, this height, this breadth, everything which speaks about the love of God. How do I know? Because it's passing knowledge. I don't have to speak about it. I don't have to go before God and say, oh Lord, just tell me you love me. Get over it. And move on. He does. And he loves you so much that it's going to pass knowledge, that it'll become just like natural breathing. That's what love is about. Love is just like naturally breathing, because love is life It is not death. God first loved us. Amen. But you've got these three types of believers today who are never sure. But only the overcomers, the bride who's making herself ready, she's making herself ready because she's doing it through love. She wants to. Not that she's got to or has to, or because I want to escape all things that are coming on the earth, the great tribulation. It's more than that. If his love is so great, and he says to you, I want you to stay behind, and I want you to go through the great tribulation, love will do it. Because it's sacrificial. See, many believers don't really know this love that we're speaking about. You see, those who truly love him learn to forget about themselves. Why? Because to love one another means you forget about yourself. That's what's so wonderful about love. Love turns you away from yourself and all your needs and your wants and your hang-ups and everything and what we're going through. It gets us to turn away. I'll tell you something that you can answer today. We are to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith. How much of self are you consumed in daily? That will tell you. That'll tell you where you are. It's the greatest thermometer. That'll tell you what your temperature's running up for the day. Whether it's a high temperature or normal or low. It will tell you. You see, the deep life is a love of privileges, and yet many haven't experienced it. And you know what those privileges are? Experiencing, knowing the love of God that will never, ever separate me from that love. That is why the church can move forth. That is why the church can triumph and overcome whatever the devil throws for it, because they know nothing will separate me from the love of God. Now some of you may be saying, oh pastor, I long to experience that. I really long to know that in my heart. Well, you start right from the word go. You start now. Today is your day, if that's what you want. Because God will work that. This is why we're preaching and teaching this message today. For that very thing. Now it says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, the central point of the deeper life is the Word. We know that. But what must the Word give us? Because that is, if you love the Word of God, you embrace the Word of God, and the Word of God is our spiritual food. However, the deeper life has to reveal something. What must the Word give us? Well, the Word of God gives us faith. We know that, and we have been preaching faith for years. A total walk of faith, trusting God. We also know that the Word gives us knowledge. A knowledge of God's will. As we read His Word. But you know, brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop there. Do you know what this is actually to give us? This Word of faith, the deeper life. It's to give us the Lord Jesus. That's what it is. He's to be found in everything. You see, when we talk about the Word, we're talking about Jesus, who was made flesh, who became the living Word. When we're talking about revelation, we're simply talking about Jesus showing us deeper truths that is not revealed to everyone else. You see, what we're trying to get over is that it gives us the Lord Jesus. And that's why he's to be found in all of Scripture, because he's the living Word. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all about Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's about a person, God. As someone said, the Gospels are like a portrait of him. Read your Gospels. And so we see him as the one slain from the foundation of the world. As we read the Word, we see him as a mediator. We see him as a comforter. We see him full of mercy, compassion, forgiveness. We see him as the one who is corrective over our lives. We see him as the one who chastens us when need be. Everything that we are seeing, in a sense, in the Word of God, is speaking about the risen Christ. A person, living, alive. That is why the Word of God is so precious. As we read this by the Holy Spirit, it is pointing us always to Christ. That is why the preaching and teaching of God's Word must always glorify the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's about him. And so it says to be filled with his love. It means that you're filled to such a point to know the love of Christ which passes what? Knowledge. Yet there's nothing wrong with knowledge. We all need knowledge. And we learn that from the Word of God. But they're telling you, the deeper life goes deeper than that. It's something that goes deeper, that it passes even that knowledge, because love is so great, it's so powerful. You see, God isn't going to let this love be mechanical, be theoretical, just something that's debated and talked about in theological colleges. That is why it has to even pass knowledge. To be experienced. And the Holy Spirit, you see, he brings us into the reality and experience of all of this, where we don't question it anymore. Brothers and sisters, to grow up in Christ means you don't question it anymore. You take it for granted. You believe, because you know nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. In a sense, we rely on it. That is what faith is about. Faith is about putting all your weight over onto something, knowing that it's going to hold you totally and completely. You see. And of course we do that when we sit in a chair. We do that when we go and sit in our cars, or whatever it is. We know that all that's going to perform and do what it does. Well, how much more with faith? You see, it's so deep, it passes knowledge. That's why it's so difficult to talk of being a Christian sometimes with God. It's so difficult to talk sometimes about our meetings and what we experience with the Lord when we come together. These are things that you can't just go and tell anyone, because they'd never understand. Because it actually passes knowledge. And God doesn't want it always just discussed like that. The same as you don't discuss between a man and wife their private life. It's sacred. And it's the same with us, with God. No, the Holy Spirit is to bring all these experiences into our life of this real risen person who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so deep, it passes his knowledge. And you see, the Bible can't teach you this. Yeah, you heard me. The Bible can't teach you this. It can give you a knowledge of it. It can show you, but it can't teach you that experience. There's only one who can teach you this, that is the Holy Spirit. I remember hearing the other week a very talented singer, a great singer of the past. And they played an extract of her singing, and this most amazing sound voice came out as she sang. And you know what I said? I heard myself saying, you can't teach that. You've either got it or you haven't. You can only take it so far. But when you hear something like that, that is something that can only come from above. And friends, what is in you, what you are experiencing, what you are going through, I can't teach you it. I can only point you to it. There's only one who gives you this. And it's a gift from God. Amen, someone said. And that is why Jesus was to send the Holy Spirit for this very purpose. You see, you can be a Christian without knowing, really, his love. There are many, many people who call themselves Christians, believers, but they don't know this love. And that is why the apostle writes this very letter. For that very purpose and reason. If we hold onto these idols, we love things still in the world, then it's no wonder he doesn't manifest this love that we're speaking about, because he's not going to share it. God is jealous over his love, his glory. And if you want to share this and have other idols, other lovers that you love as much or more than God, then little wonder you do not experience this love. He's not going to manifest. He will not reveal it. It is hindered. That is why Israel never grew into their sonship, because they kept falling into these idols, the love of the world. And they repent, come back, a few years later, fall into the same thing again. Why? Because it wasn't in their heart. They hadn't received it. Israel relied, they thought that because they were the seed of Abraham, oh, we can't go wrong, we'll make it in. But they didn't make it in. Only two made it in, Joshua and Caleb, who were the right spirit. Why were they of the right spirit? Because they had received it from above. And you can't teach that. We've got it today in our churches that we can teach Christians to love God. We can teach Christians to overcome, to walk by faith and so forth. You can't. I can't teach you it. All a teacher is ever to do is to point you to the greatest teacher who will give you it as a gift. That is all our ministry is for. That's all my ministry is to point you in the right direction. But I can't teach you it. I can't give you it. It is a gift. As I say so often, the queen doesn't try to be queen. She is. And she walks in that confidence. And expects to be queen and to be treated as queen. It's part of her role. Well, how much more for the overcomer, for the Christian? Yet we're shown that the greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. That is the principle. And so if we hold on to these idols and we love other people more than we love God, then little wonder we are never going to have this love manifested to us. because we have to seek him with our whole heart. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So there's God's mercy and grace on Israel, on backsliders. There it is, he says, and you will seek me and find me. There are those who are seeking for God. Don't be in despair. If it's what you want, he says, you will find me, and you will walk and be blessed before me. We have these promises. And that's why you see, going back in Ephesians, verse 19, this is possibly the highest statement in the New Testament, what we're dealing with here. You see, firstly, with this statement that the apostle gives, firstly, this isn't referring, when he speaks about to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does he mean by this fullness of God? Well, there are some who are sort of pantheistic in thinking, that they think that God is in everything and everyone, and the breath, air you breathe, and in the trees and in the flowers and so forth. That's what pantheism thinks. There are those who think that they gradually evolve into this love. You learn it, you evolve into it. They are mystics. That's what mysticism, New Age, thinks. Oh, you grow into God's love as he reveals himself and so forth. No, what the apostle is showing here is this is God's greatest plan of redemption spoken here. You don't evolve into it, you are given it. It is God's gift. God first loved us. How do we know? John 14:23. I'm just saying this briefly because we're talking about God being everywhere. We're talking about God's love. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How does God, we're talking about width, depth, length, height, God, who is everything, everywhere, how does he also make his home in us? You see, to be filled with his fullness, he has, in a sense, given a ministry in order for this to be fulfilled. If we are to be filled with the love of God, we're filled with his fullness. There's no beginning, no end of God himself. God who resides, makes his home in us. He tabernacles with us. How is this to be achieved? How is it done? Well, we have spoken about it many, many times in this body. Ephesians 4:11-13 is the key to this. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. No wonder Satan tried to divide and destroy the body of Christ. This is why, brothers and sisters, we are in the times of restoration. God is restoring, healing, bringing back the true body of Christ, true believers, again back under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what purpose? What the apostle says that we've been reading here, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That can only be achieved, brothers and sisters, by ministry that God sets in the church for that experience. Can't be achieved any other way. Isn't that amazing? That God has entrusted with human flesh, man, in all his weakness, this divine revelation of speaking about God's love, that we might be filled to such a filling that we can't even begin to understand it, to experience and know the fullness of God that lives in each one of us and in the body of Christ. How can he put that into words? And yet he has put in the church those fivefold ministries so that you will be equipped to experience that. Isn't it marvelous? What a God and Father we have. How he loves us so much. And so we take his fullness by faith. Don't try and understand it, because it passes knowledge. That is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the only means of being able to embrace eternity, God's love. There's nothing else that can receive it. Just simply believing it, and the reality of it will be made real to you in that time. It's the same with the relationship like the vine and the branches. You know, how can you understand that? This is why so many times we speak of these things in metaphorical terms. Because it's the mind trying to understand the spiritual. As he says in John 15 verse 5, I'll just read this out quickly to you. John 15 and verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How is that done? It's a mystery. But you are to bear fruit because you abide in him. How do we know? Because of his fullness we have received. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Not by what they say, or how devout necessarily they are. It's the way we live, the fruit that we bear. His fullness resides in you and me, the church. His fullness is in life, in the universe. There's nowhere where you can escape God. Even the psalmist says, even if I go down to hell, you are there. So how do we understand this? We can't. How can you understand the fullness of God living in you right now? The one who spoke the world into being. The one who always has been. No beginning, no end. The fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he lives in you and I. It passes knowledge. I'm not even going to try any further to try and explain it. Because there aren't words for this. And yet you've got theologians trying academically to explain all of this. That will never impart that experience. Because it's a gift. It's like love that passes through the body. How does blood, for example, pass through your little toe as well as through your head? It does. It's pumped. But it does it. So all the blood is going all the way through the entirety of your body, my body. That is the life that is in us. There's still a mystery. Each of us has its fullness, whatever the size. You see, the fullness of a river is the same as the fullness in a bottle of water. Both are still full, maybe different in size, but you're full. And that is the point. That's how, that's the nearest analogy I can give, in a sense, to all of this, for the intellect to, in a sense, practically understand this. You know, the mind, the heart, everything can be filled with this fullness. But it's not quantity, it's about quality. That's what it's all about. You see, we've got it all wrong today. Evangelism wants quantity. Just wants big churches. Wants big rally meetings. Wants to boast in the amount and number of converts. And we're not against numbers, believe me. But God is more in quality. Bigness, greatness doesn't necessarily mean a thing. That's why it's too many to get filled. They're busy trying to fill their churches. They're busy trying to make their ministry a success. And it doesn't work. It's fleshly, it's worldly. That is not the knowledge that passes understanding. At all. And finally, to be filled means he controls us. What do I mean by that? It means he controls my thinking, my actions, my mind, my heart, my will, my all. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, when he said that and faced the cross, he revealed to the world he was totally controlled, submitted, filled with the Father's love. There wasn't one fraction of Christ that wasn't filled with the Father's love, and that's why he went to the cross knowing that nothing could separate him from the Father's love. And it didn't, and the Father raised him up. In his flesh, that is. You see, too many today are trying to get filled. They're trying to get blessed. And that's why so many go over to Toronto to get zapped, as they call it. They're trying to get filled. They're trying to have a greater blessing from God. God forbid that any of us go down that road. You don't have to try with God. You either are or you're not. I'm sorry, but a lot of this tells me these people are not saved. Saved people don't try before God. That's why we yield over that he controls us, and that our mind, our thinking, our heart, our will, our life, everything is his. I'm no longer myself anymore. I have surrendered, sacrificed life over to God. I don't belong to myself anymore, if that makes any sense. Romans 12, 1, 2. Let's read it again. I know we know it here, but we've got brothers and sisters who are in the room today. And I want us to read these scriptures that are so clear about this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All you can do is submit it. Not my will. It's now, my mind is surrendered, my whole body, everything, my heart. You can't give any more than yourself. Surrendered to the will of God on the altar. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be able to comprehend his width, his length, his depth, his height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all his fullness. Not all confessing believers know that. If you are born again, you potentially are filled with this fullness. But few experience it and walk in it. And that is the difference. And who stops that? The devil. The devil doesn't want believers to press on into the deeper life. And so you see, when we have done that, then the mind is controlled, taken over by the Holy Spirit. If you don't do that, if you still want to live in the world, then the mind is controlled of sin. That is what the world minds are controlled by sin. What they sow is what they reap. You see, the Christian can now think spiritual because we're filled with his fullness. We're now, today, here, thinking spiritual. We are embracing teaching that's working on our minds to think spiritual, to think upon God, to experience more of him. We've chosen to do that. Most of the world outside there doesn't choose something like this because they don't want to think God's thoughts. They don't want to think that, you see. The reason that you are thinking it, the reason that you love the meetings, you're loving the word that's coming out, is because you've surrendered your whole being upon the altar, Romans 12. And so now, Christ in you, his fullness, is working on that mind, because he doesn't want you thinking worldly, sinful thoughts. See? That's the difference. You see, his fullness confronts us to his love. And he's going to give you his fullness, which is time for him, a heart for him. This is his. This is what he's given. Of his fullness we have received. We have received his heart. We have received his time. We have received his patience. We have received his correction. We received his teaching, his admonition, received his care, his protection. We have received his we've received eternal life. We've received sonship. I can go on and on and on. That is what you have received of his fullness. So why are we still believing the negative? Fear, unbelief, sickness, disease, lies. What's wrong with us? We've received of his fullness. There aren't any of those things to be found in God. God is a perfect, pure, holy, spiritual being. No blemish in him. Nothing. No sickness, no disease, no sin. And he says, of your fullness we have received. That is what the apostle says. He prays for the church to know this love that passes knowledge, that you will be filled with all of this, filled with his fullness, filled with his healing, filled with his deliverance, filled with his joy, his peace, his love, his long-suffering, his patience, blessings. I can't stop, just to put amen to it. Like, we just do not know what we have been filled with, brothers and sisters. But we will if we stay with it. And that is why the apostle could close with verses 20-21. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or even think. And what I've just shared with you today, these words are limited to what we ask and think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And there we are. To be strengthened in the inner man. Oh, who could turn away from such an offering, eh? My goodness. No, it's all for those who want it, who embrace it, who can see that there's more in the Christian walk. It's a deeper consecration. It's time, brothers and sisters, to go deeper with God. Amen. Father, we thank you today. Again, you have spoken life into our hearts, into our beings. We thank your divine presence here today that's encouraged us and blessed us, showing us that there's always more. There's no beginning and no end to this, Lord. We can go as deep and as far as we want. Help us not to limit you, Father, to get our carnal thinking and mind in the way, but just have that simple, childlike faith to embrace and just take it and just say, Amen, it's for me and more for the glory of God. And let the Holy Spirit who's baptized us into his fullness, work the rest out. That we might walk as pilgrims in this world, and that the world will say to us, Lord, they have been with Christ. Look how they love one another. Thank you, Father. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, till we assemble again. And all our brothers and sisters who have joined us today, be with them also. Preserve, keep them also under the blood of Jesus, we ask. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Who fought and Oh dear.